A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. So as I was saying, at the beginning of Mass, Easter far, far outweighs Christmas. I know most people get more excited about Christmas, but Easter is what it's all about. And in some ways, Christmas is the preparation for Easter, because, I mean, the baby and Christmas in Bethlehem was born specifically for the resurrection. Now, before we go on there, and so it's a major feast on the Christian calendar, and a little story for you. An atheist said to his Christian friend, "You know," he says, "it's not fair. You Christians have lots of nice feast days. You have Christmas and you have Easter." And he says, "The Jews, they have feast days like Yom Kippur and the Passover and so on. And even and the Muslims have their own feast days. And we atheists don't have any day in which we can celebrate." And his Christian friend said to him, "Oh yes, you do. You too have a day every year that's special for you." "When?" said the atheist. "Every year," he said, "we celebrate your day on April 1st. There you go. Now, I want to give you the key, and you may not... I don't know if some of you will agree with this or not, but I want you to give you the key to maybe a better understanding of Easter. And the key is, every Sunday when you come to Mass in the Creed, you, apart from all the things you believe that Christ died and descended into hell. Now, have you ever thought, what does that mean? What does that mean? Christ descended into hell. And that gives you the key to what Easter is all about. And if you keep in the back of your mind, Christ is everything and in everything. Christ is everything and in everything. And so Christ descended into hell. Now we got to pick out the word hell and see what is the real meaning of that word hell. And when we, most of us here in the Western Church, we from early on, we had this idea of hell, a place where you went if you were bad or you didn't do what you were told. By the age of 10, I had resigned myself that I was going to end up in hell, because every time we had lunch or dinner at home and I didn't finish my vegetables, I was warned, if you don't finish those vegetables, you'll go to hell. And so I decided, I didn't like vegetables, so I decided maybe hell is better than this. So I had planned on going to hell, which I did. Well, that's another story. But anyhow, so we go back and we pick out that word hell. And the real translation of the word hell is Hades, or the place of the dead, the place of the dead. Now, I want you to picture for a moment. Whenever you see a painting of the resurrection in the Western Church, it's always Christ on his own, raised from the dead. If you go and look at paintings in the Eastern Church or icons, it's totally different. What you see is Christ is not on his own, but he's surrounded by a whole multitude of people. And guess where he is? He is standing over the gate, astride over the gate or the pit of hell. And he's dragging sinners, well, not sinners, he's dragging people out of there. He's dragging people out of there. How significant that is. How significant that is. That's the picture. And I think they get the message much better than we do. It's not just Christ, Jesus, who was raised on the first Easter Sunday morning, but all of us were. And that's the meaning of he descended into Hades or into Gehenna. Somebody last year, so in case you think I'm a heretic, last year, a journalist and some people asked the Holy Father, Pope Francis, do you believe in hell? He said, no. He answered almost the night. No, he said, I don't believe in hell. Christ put an end to death. There is no hell, except here in this life. And for some people, there is a hell here. There is a hell here. And so, if you are suffering, and some of you are here this morning, possibly you are suffering from an addiction to whatever, an addiction to drugs, to pornography, to alcohol, whatever has you imprisoned. You got to come out of there. And Easter is telling you, never give up hope. Never give up hope. You will survive. And in the end, all will be well. And all manner of things will be well. That's the real message of Easter. When you look around the world today, you look at this country or most countries in the world, look at all the violence. Look what happened yesterday in Sri Lanka. Absolutely terrible. People in church, bombed. Not just one church, but many churches. And the number of dead now is well over 200 and hundreds of people injured. Just why? Because they were in church. Now it's hard, difficult, and a lot of people can't reconcile that with God. And here's the clue. Go back over Jesus' life and the passion of Christ. You mustn't confine it just to the couple of days of Holy Week. The passion of Christ went on all through his life, just like it does in our life. Just to be human is to suffer. And so you think of all the rejection, the pain, the sorrow, the denials, the betrayals that Christ went through in his life, to the extent that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you have, a lot of us have been there. Just, for example, think, and some of you will have been through this, you marry somebody. You promise to love them for the rest of your life. You put your trust in that person. You give them your heart. You give them everything you have. And one day that person rejects you and walks out. How do you feel? That's a terrible rejection. Nobody knows what that like, what that is like better than Christ. Because he's been there. He has been let down by those he really put his trust in. He never did anything wrong, but yet he was accused and hanged as a criminal. And so, or think for a moment. If some of you here have had a serious illness or have had cancer and you survived and you got through, how do you feel? Isn't that a resurrection, huh? You got through that and you have rose and you begin a new life. And do you appreciate life now? And you never experience joy, real joy, unless it's preceded by some kind of pain or suffering. And it's when we get through that pain and suffering that we really know what joy is all about. It's not happiness. Happiness is very ephemeral, ebbs and flows like the tide. Joy is a permanent, abiding thing in one's heart. And it gives you the ability to cope with whatever life throws at you. And so, in the Eastern Church, when they celebrate Easter, they shout out many times during the ceremony, Jesus has risen! Jesus has risen! And we too have risen with him. And that's the real message. That's the real message of Easter. Never, 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 never give up hope. No matter how dark life is now, no matter what is happening in your life now, I can stand here in God's name and in Jesus' name and tell you all eventually will be well. And that's the message. That really is the message of Easter. Amen. Now, on Easter Sunday, instead of the creed, we have the renewal of the baptismal promises. So if you stand now, we will do that.